Now, as you get to know me and I get to know you, you'll get to know that I like questions. And for those from St. David's, they will know that that is the case. Lots of questions. So, some questions to start you off this morning. Have you ever had to go somewhere on a regular basis where you didn't want to go? And I'm not talking about work. Okay. Have you ever had to spend time with people that seem to have everything and you really wanted the chance to speak with them, but you are left disappointed with the experience? I wonder, have you ever been invited to a meal where the food and the company which once thrilled you no longer fills you with delight, and you find yourself easily making up excuses not to go? Have you ever pretended to others, and maybe yourself, that life is better than it is, that it is more fulfilling, that you are content, but actually your stomach is in knots and you don't sleep very well, that you know something is missing? This is probably what is happening in Levi's life. What once thrilled him is no longer fulfilling him. The wealth that would have come from his job as a tax collector, the dinner parties that would have been lavish with people of high status invited, these things could only be so much comfort when you are hated. And when you think about this, and I'm thinking about this objectively, you know, we say, oh, the tax collectors were hated. But honestly, how many of you like the tax man? Yes, therein lies the point, I think. In the ancient Jewish world, tax collectors were hated. Not just disliked, they were actually hated. Often they lined their own pockets with money that should not have been taken from the people. But no one would want to argue with the tax collector, because there would be consequences for them to do so. They kept close company with the Romans, and they were not exactly known for their compassion. So tax collectors were distrusted and despised, were all regarded with suspicion. Levi was probably despised, and here we find him eating with Jesus, who is the talk of the town at that time, the one who is preaching and healing, but not in the traditional places like synagogues, but at lakesides, calling people to follow him. Now, Levi is the Hebrew name of the disciple that we probably better know as Matthew, which is the Greek name. And as a tax collector, Levi worked for Greek-speaking Romans, but he gathered taxes from Hebrew-speaking Jews. So he was a man who worked between worlds and cultures. Now, I wonder how often your mother or father told you when you were growing up not to hang about or be in the company of a certain person because they were no good or that trouble followed them. Did they ever tell you not to do that? You're all very quiet. And you've got to remember, I can't see you behind your mask. You're allowed to nod every so often. It's fine. Levi is the sort of person that I think sometimes we warn children about adults as well, and to stay away from adults and certain adults. Well, Levi is the sort of person that parents would warn their children about. But here we find him in Jesus' company. And this would have intrigued and frustrated and completely outraged religious leaders at the time. The expectation that this new rabbi should be keeping such company and bringing their profession into disrepute. That was two words that I melded together there. That was a new word for you. And so they would have kept a close watch on Jesus. Now, I wonder, have you ever gone out for a meal, for dinner, to the cinema or to something and posted a picture of that meal or that event online? Yeah. Maybe it was desserts. I've done that quite often. Maybe it was pictures of those who were present with you. You see, who we eat with and where we eat and what we eat often says a lot about us and our likes and our dislikes and the circles in which we move. Nowadays, much of public discourse happens online at lightning speed on social media. Some of it happens in echo chambers where everyone with the same opinions gathers and they reaffirm one another's beliefs. Some of it happens civilly where dissenting opinions are respected, but much of it does not. Social media in Jesus' day was much more of an in-person matter, a checking out of who was eating with who and where they were eating, what company they kept. The rumours are that Jesus and his companions are not fussy about whom they keep company with. Had the whole scene been played out on social media, we would have seen the faces, the meal on the table, we would have heard the inflection of the voices and maybe the gasps as people took in the scene and heard the commotion as folk clamoured to hear the answer to the question, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? You can imagine this whole scene would have gone viral. And in the ancient world, it did the equivalent. Everybody knew about this meal. Now notice that the Pharisees don't ask Jesus directly, but his disciples. And notice that Jesus' disciples, some of them who were Jewish, would have kept Jewish laws and worshipped in synagogues. They are present at this meal, where traditions that they would have known and observed would teach that they should not be at. This is the first use of the word disciples in Mark's gospel, and it's quite likely that we find it here, as Mark wanted to stress that disciples, Jesus' disciples, are to engage in a way of life that takes them to those on the margins, that they are not to be bound by traditions, but led by Jesus' example. Jesus' response to the question was, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners. Jesus went to the places where people were desperately, spiritually hungry, where people knew who they were. They were the despised ones, the excluded ones, the unwanted ones. And here is Jesus in amongst them. Levi, someone hated, would probably never have gone to the synagogue, because you don't go to places where you're hated. You go to places where you are welcome. Here Jesus shows that there is indeed an opening gulf between himself and the Jewish leaders and orthodoxy. Levi may well have tried pagan practices and religions, but he is at a stage where they do not fill his hunger for God. I've already made mention of Ecclesiastes, and from chapter 3, we hear these words, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. And maybe deep down that Levi has felt that connection with Jesus, that spark of eternity in his heart when he saw and spoke with Jesus, because he would go on to give up everything, his wealth, his job, his circle of friends and companions, to follow Jesus, because he knew his need of Jesus. And I wonder if we truly know our need for Jesus. There is a big billboard up on the Kingsway near to the Asda, just the roundabout prior to the Asda, you know the one I mean? Big billboard that says on it, Jesus is looking for sinners. And every time we pass it, my younger son says, Mum, that sign's still there. And every time he points it out, my usual response is, Jesus doesn't have to look for sinners, he knows where we all are. It's one thing to accept an imperfect person into congregations and into our daily lives. It's quite another to acknowledge our need for the physician. The Pharisees could see the imperfection of others, but not their own shortcomings. The people Jesus was frequenting with were people they would rarely come into contact with because their laws would not allow it. One of my favourite Christian music groups is called Casting Crowns, and they have a fairly new song called Healer, and I may have mentioned it before, but here are some of the words. The whole world's looking for something, but what we need is someone. And every road leads back to one name when all the searching is done, because there's no worldview, no religion that can make the blind eyes see. Let the eyes of our hearts be opened to the healing that we need. says this in the chorus, we need the healer. We don't need another hero. We need the healer. Deep down, every hurting heart knows that we need the healer, and only Jesus is the healer. Whilst many are happy to accept our need for high-tech gadgets, our smartphones, our laptops, our cars, and comforts, it is often unacceptable to actually admit we need help from others. Indeed, it is often a cause for much embarrassment, and it often makes situations so much worse than they need to be when we don't seek the help that we need. We carry on holding on to things that drain us, that worry us, that cause us physical suffering, and which hurt those closest to us because we cannot admit our need for help. For many to admit we need the help of God, the God of tax collectors, the God of scribes, of prostitutes, of the possessed and Pharisees, well, for most, that is completely unthinkable because, well, just not that kind of person. And yet in some places, there is the opposite belief. In the Highlands, it is often the case that people do not come for communion or accept communion until they are nearing the end of their life. They believe that they are unworthy. That is a human trait that God does not endorse. God is creator, and he knows all of our wrong decisions, our actions, our choices, and the context for them all. Jesus ate with tax collectors. He ate with those who would eat with him. He ate with those who recognized their sinfulness and who wished to change. And sometimes he ate with people who did not wish to change. Revelation 3:19 says this, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. This is an image that goes along with that verse, and it's a painting by the English artist William Holman Hunt. If you look closely at it, and I know it's not very big, but if you look closely at it, you will see that the door has no handle on the outside. It has to be opened from the inside. We have to make the choice to allow Jesus into our lives. Now, Jesus was willing to engage with Levi in a meaningful way, a way that would change his life, that would give him peace of mind. But Levi had to choose to follow. The practices around eating were something that followed Jesus, and the accusations that he ate with the wrong kind of people would come again and again, as would the questioning about his practices, including why he did not fast. There is an old saying that appearances can be deceptive. You can do all the right things, but it doesn't make you a decent person. The Pharisees were not really interested in Jesus' eating habits. They were trying to dismiss his ministry as irrelevant to the Jewish ways. If they could discredit him enough, then they would not have to change their ways and reflect on where they were with God. In Matthew 11, we find these words of Jesus. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say he is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, but wisdom is proved right by her deeds. The author Paul Kruger said, to share a table with someone is to share everything. Jesus embodied this. We share a table when it comes to communion, which is open to all who seek him. His final commands to remember him were set around a table where they had shared a meal, a table that he shared with his disciples, including Judas. The communion table and meal is open to all who seek and all who love Jesus and should never be closed. Levi knew who he was and the things that he had done, and he knew there were things that he could change and things he could not, and how he needed Jesus. Lent is a really good time for self-reflection, to look inward, to accept our need for the healer, to see where we need to change, where God would have us change. I'm going to finish with a very well-known prayer by Reinhold Niebuhr, and I think it's very appropriate for where we are in Lent. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as he did the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Amen.